This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, we are live. The screen is shared.
Bismillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum again. We've been listening to Arabic study. But now we're going back to Dr. Samirai's book and continuing our translation of his introduction. Today it's actually pretty fun. He's going to raise some questions. I want you both to pay attention on the kinds of things that he's going to talk about. Yesterday he talked about stress or emphasis,
yeah.
How some things are stressed and less stressed. Remember that,
yeah.
Right? Today he's going to raise other questions about the Quran and how the Quran speaks. وَقُلْ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ عَنِ الْإِسْتِفْهَامِ And you say things like that, or مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ عَنِ الْإِسْتِفْهَامِ You'll say things like that also about the way the Quran asks questions. فَهُوَ قَدْ يَسْتَفْهِمُ مَرَّةً بِالْحَمْزَةِ وَمَرَّةً بِهَا لَيْهِ He may ask a question using a hamza. Remember I told you have, for example, هُوَ مُسْلِمٌ, like a simple sentence, if you were doing irregular stuff. هُوَ مُسْلِمٌ means in Arabic, he is a Muslim, right? And you could turn this into أَهُوَ مُسْلِمٌ.
Is he Muslim?
Is he a Muslim? And you can also make it هَلْ هُوَ مُسْلِمٌ. And that would be, is he a Muslim also? Mm-hmm. Right? So to turn this into a question, you can either use a or you can use hal. Mm-hmm. But there is a difference between them, a very delicate difference. So what does he say? Allah might ask sometimes a question using a hamza,
yeah.
Or marra bihal, or sometimes using hal another time. فَهُوَ مَرَّةً يَقُولُ So one time he says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِشَرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ مَثُوبَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ Tell them, shall I inform you? Shall I inform you of something worse than that? A recompense that comes from Allah. Or compensation from Allah. It's the context of this ayah. We won't dive into that. But look at this first part. هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ Shall I inform you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, this is the Surah Al-Ma'idah. And several years ago, when he revealed Surah Al-Hajj before Ma'idah, Ma'idah was one of the last surahs revealed, if not the last. Afa maratan yaqulu afa unabbiukum. So he used the a. Then so shall I inform you of something worse than that? So it's the same phrase, but it's changed a little bit, right? Wa maratan yastafhamu bi ma. Ma means what?
Yeah.
And wa maratan bi madha. Madha actually means what? So ma is what, and madha is a stronger what, okay? Like if you were sending somebody a text message and you said what, that would be ma. But if you're sending somebody a text message with all caps what, and it was blinking, that would be
madha.
So it can be like that, but there are some other changes too. فَيَقُولُ مَرَّةً فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ So one time talking about Ibrahim عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, he said, إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ You know what qala means?
He said.
Mm-hmm. If means when?
Oh, when he said.
When he said, li abihi. Of his father, right?
Yeah. So, li abihi.
I'll just help you with li, too.
To. When he said to his father.
Mm-hmm. Wa qawmihi.
And. Qawm, like. Qawm nasqan. Qawm. Like people.
Good.
When he said to
his father.
To his father
and
his people.
Yeah. Now
what? Ta'buduna. What y'all be doing?
What do you ya kana abudu?
Oh yeah,
can I say? So na'budu means what? The y'all is correct. Ibadah.
Worship?
Yeah.
Y'all worship?
Yeah, what do y'all worship?
What do y'all worship?
When he said to his, good job, when he said to his father and his nation, what do you people worship?
Mm-hmm.
And then again, if qala?
When he said to his father.
To his father.
And his people.
Mm-hmm.
What y'all be worshiping?
Well, what y'all be worshiping? And this is again, Ibrahim alayhi salam talking. So he said this, the Quran quotes him saying this twice, but one time with ma ta'budun, another time with ma da ta'budun in Surah As-Safat. وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ وَغَيْرُهُ and other examples and others, et cetera, et cetera. غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ وَغَيْرُهُ is et cetera, et cetera. Urdu speakers made it وَغَيْرَ. It's وَغَيْرُهُ in Arabic. So much Urdu comes from actually properly pronounced Arabic, and we take the Arabic word, and we lay it down on the street, we run a car over it, and run a couple of donkeys over it, and then we make the Urdu version of it. So we say
Vagera.
Yeah, Vagera. It's Wagairuhu. So, yeah. وَقُلْ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ عَنِ التَّقْدِيمِ وَالتَّأْخِيرِ. You could say that kind of a variation is about تَقْدِيم and تَأْخِيرِ. Do you remember what تَقْدِيم and تَأْخِيرِ is? مُقَدَّم وَأَخَرِ?
Yeah.
What's that?
قَدَّم, early, or
right.
مُقَدَّم, and then مُؤَخَّر, late.
So تَقْدِيم, bringing earlier, تَأْخِيرِ, pushing later. So we've done like مُبْتَدَى وَأَخَرِ, you know, مَفْعُول بِهِ مُؤَخَّر, or مُقَدَّم, and you know, متعلق بالفعل, مقدم. We've done things like that, right? So he's going to go further than that. So we've done it from the grammar point of view, but he's doing it from a literary point of view. So we'll see this again. فَهُوَ قَدْ يُقَدِّمُ كَلِمَةً فِي مَكَانٍ وَيُؤَخِّرُهَا فِي مَكَانٍ. And he might make a word, مقدم. He might make a word, bring it earlier in some place, and later on put it in further down the road. Make it مؤخر, okay? أو يقدم عبارة في مكان ويؤخرها في مكان فهو يقدم. So or he could take an entire phrase and put it earlier, or take that same phrase and put it later in other places. فهو يقدم السماء على الأرض مرة. So he could be, one time he says sky first, he made the sky مقدم, and then he mentioned the earth. You know, he says he's created the sky and the earth. So what was مقدم? The sky was مقدم and the earth was مؤخر, right? So the sky came first. وَمَرَّةً يُقَدِّمُ الْأَرْضَ عَلَى السَّمَاءِ. In some other place, he might take the earth and put it first and put the sky second, right? وَمَرَّةً يُقَدِّمُ الْإِنسَ عَلَى الْجِنِ. Sometimes he could take the human being and mention him first, make him مُقَدَّم, and then mention the jinn. وَمَرَّةً يُقَدِّمُ الْجِنَّ عَلَى الْإِنسِ. In other places, he could take the jinn and make them مُقَدَّم, and then make the human being, mention the human being second. وَمَرَّةً يُقَدِّمُ الرُّكُوعَ عَلَى السُّجُودِ وَمَرَّةً يُقَدِّمُ السُّجُودَ عَلَى الرُّكُوعِ. And it could be sometimes he mentions ruku' first, the half-bowing,
yeah,
and the prostrating, sajda second, or it could be that he mentions the sajda first and the ruku' second. فَهُوَ مَرَّةً يَقُولُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِرْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. This is in Surah Al-Hajj. Those of you who believe, make ruku', irka'u, this is the command form, irka'u. Namasukun a'u, remember?
Yeah.
So this is the u, irka'u, wasjudu, and make sajda, and worship your master. So ruku' first, sujood second. Wa marratan ukhra, ya Maryam, Maryam, uqnuti li rabbiki, be subservient to your master. Wasjudi, warka'i. Remember sukun a'u, what was the second line?
Sukun a'u, i'ana.
The e is for one female, i'ana. So the e is here for Maryam. So wasjudi warka'i. So make sajda and make ruku'. So in this ayah, when he talked to all of us, he said ruku' and sajda. When he talked to Maryam, he said sajda and ruku'. Do sajda and do ruku' ma'ar raki'i. So he can change the sequence. So, you know, in other book, in general reading, you say, oh, it's just different. He's saying, why is it different? Why is the sky here first? Why are the jinn here first? Why were they later in the ayah? How come ruku is first here? How come ruku is last over there? What happened here? What happened there? How come this is perfect over here and that one's perfect over there? It's like such microscopic detail on how perfect every word is and where it's supposed to be. وَيَقُولُ مَرَّةً لَا يَقْدِرُونَ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا عَلَى شَيْءٍ. I love this one. One place in the Quran, Allah says, they have no control. لَا يَقْدِرُونَ. You see the ya and the una?
Yeah.
Right? They have no control over whatever they earned in any way. لَا يَقْدِرُونَ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا, from over what they earned, مَا كَسَبُوا, what they earned, عَلَى شَيْءٍ, at all. Okay? So they don't have any control over anything that they earned. Okay? And then, so if you do this little bit, i'rab, right? You have لِيَقْدِرُونَ, فِعْلْ مُضَارِعِ.
Yeah.
And then the min, remember min is a harf jar?
Yeah.
مِمَّا كَسَبُوا is the jar majroor. It's a big jar majroor. So it's a متعلق بالفعل. It's a متعلق بالفعل. And عَلَى شَيْءٍ is another متعلق بالفعل. So there's two متعلق بالفعلز for يقدرون. So لا يقدرون, مما كسبوا is number one,
yeah,
and مما شيء is, or على شيء is number two. What does he do in this other ayah? لا يقدرون على شيء mimma kasabu. What did he do? He took one muta'allaq bil fi'l and he put that earlier, and the other muta'allaq bil fi'l is later.
Yeah.
In Surah Ibrahim, they were mimma kasabu ala shay. And in this one, ala shay mimma kasabu. You know what's going to be wild? The English translations of these are going to be identical. Like if you pick up a typical translation of the Quran, if you look at Ibrahim 18 and Baqarah 2, this is 264, you're going to find that they're translating them pretty much identical, or they're not really talking about the change in sequence, because they're not, that's not their concern. It's not because the translation is flawed, because they're not focused on this dimension of the Quran. But and again, Ibrahim revealed in Mecca, Baqarah revealed in Medina. So these are the Prophet, these words originally came out of the Prophet's mouth years apart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were revealed to him years apart. And here, bimma kasabu ala shay, and here, ala shay bimma kasabu. And there'll be a study in this book about why is this one muqaddam and why is this one mu'akhar. It's fascinating stuff. وَهُوَ قَدْ يَذْكُرُ كَلِمَةً أَوْ عِبَارَةً فِي مَوْطِنٍ لَا يَذْكُرُهَا فِي مَوْطِنٍ آخَرٍ يَبْدُو شَبِيهًا بِهِ. And he could also sometimes mention a word or a phrase in one place, and another place he'll say something similar without mentioning that same phrase, or he'll take something out of it. But they will look similar to each other. So مَثَلًا فِي مَوْطِن. For example, in one context he says, مَوْطِن means context. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will not talk to them on the day of resurrection. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ. And Allah will not purify them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And they have painful punishment. Okay, so he won't talk to them on the day of judgment and purify them. What are the two things he won't do?
Purify them or talk to them.
Which one was first?
Oh,
talk to them and then
purify them.
Them, right? That's in Surah Al-Baqarah. Then in the next surah, Ali Imran, وَيَقُولُ فِي مَوْتٍ آخَرٍ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah will not talk to them. وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ. And he won't look at them. يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of resurrection. And he won't, وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ. And he won't purify them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And they have painful punishment. Is something added?
Mm-hmm.
The first time he said he won't talk to them and he won't purify them. Mm-hmm. The second time he's saying what? He won't talk to them, mm-hmm, and he won't even look at them and he won't purify them. Three things were said instead of two things being said, right? So it's very similar, but he took one phrase out or added a phrase in another context. فَيَزِيدُ عِبَارَةً وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ وَغَيْرُهُ وَغَيْرَ وَغَيْرَ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ يَضَعُهُ وَضْعًا فَنِّيًّا فِي غَايَةِ الرَّوْعَةِ وَالْجَمَالِ. Every one of these he has placed in an artistic way which demonstrates the height of marvel and beauty. وَهُوَ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ ضُرُوبِ الْقَوْلِ الْمُخْتَلِفَةِ وَيُؤَلِّفُ بَيْنَهَا فِي حَشْدٍ فَنِّيٍّ عَجِيبٍ لا يملك العارف بشيء من أسرار التركيب إلا أن يشهد لصاحب هذا الكلام إجلالا وخشوعا. I know I read a lot of Arabic there. And he's, huh?
How do you read so fast?
Because I'm like Islamic and really humble. Like,
you're
hey, you can read the Arabic? Yeah, I can read the Arabic. Look at me go, alhamdulillah, Arabic. Oh my God, so humble.
Yeah.
You will read like this in a year or less. You better believe it. That's when I can actually be proud. Like, yeah, I did that.
I did that.
You know, like, yeah. You too, Maryam. Don't give me the silent statue treatment. You will read like what I just read. And you will translate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. وَهُوَ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ ضُرُوبِ الْقَوْلِ الْمُخْتَلِفَةِ. I read this already. So he combines different styles of speech. And he fuses them together in a way, in a concentrated way that is so artistic and so strange and so unique that a person who knows even a little bit about linguistics, al-arif bi shay'in min asrar al-tarkib, someone who knows even a little bit about grammar and how things are put together in language, someone who studied a little bit of literature, when they pay attention to these things, they can't even help themselves. La yamlik, a person who knows a little bit of that language can't even help themselves except أَنْ يَسْجُدَ لِصَاحِبِ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ, that they should fall in sajda to the one who made the speech. They said when someone who studies literature and studies language starts paying attention to this in the Qur'an, they can't help themselves but fall into sajda, إِجْلَالًا وَخُشُوعًا, out of the glory for the one who spoke and out of being overwhelmed in awe. اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابًا. Look at the words of Allah. He said, Allah is the one. He sent down the most beautiful of all speech, kitaban mutashabihan mathaniya, a written word that is that has similarities. Mutashabihan, meaning, remember you see sky and earth and sky, la yaqdiruna ala shay'in mimma kasabu, la yaqdiruna mimma kasabu ala. There's similarities in the Quran. There's tashabuhat in the Quran. Mathaniya, that are highly praised. Taqsha'irru minhu juludu alladhina yakhshawna rabbahum. Those, the skins of those who are truly fearful of their master, the hair on their skin rises as they read it. Their skins shiver. ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Then their hearts become, their skins become soft, and their hearts become soft, to inclining towards remembering Allah. ذَلِكَ هُدَى اللَّهِ. That is the guidance of Allah. يَهْدِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He guides by means of it whoever He wants. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ. And whoever Allah would allow to be misled, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. He can't have anybody to guide. لَقَدْ دُرِسَ التَّعْبِيرُ الْقُرْآنِ. This is the last little bit we'll read. لَقَدْ دُرِسَ التَّعْبِيرُ الْقُرْآنِيُ دِرَاسَاتٍ مُصْطَفِيدَةً وَأُولِيَ مِنَ النَّظَرِ مَا لَمِنَ الْهُنَصٌ آخَرُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. So he says that the Qur'an style of expression has been studied so exhaustively, and it's been focused on with a kind of lens that no other text has been looked at so carefully and so exhaustively in the world. فَقَدْ دُرِسَ مِنْ حَيْثُ تَصْوِيرِهِ الْفَنِّينَ. And it's been looked at from the point of view of how artistic Allah paints a depiction. Like Allah will describe somebody walking in the middle of the night, and it's cloudy, and it's thunder, and it's storming, and he'll paint an entire picture, right? This is تَصْوِيرِهِ الْفَنِّي. فَكَانَ أَجْمَلُ تَصْوِيرِهِ وَأَبْرَعُ لَوْحَةٍ كَانَ أَجْمَلَ تَصْوِيرٍ وَأَبْرَعَ لَوْحَةٍ فَنِّيَةٍ. So it could be the most beautiful depiction, like it's like literally like you're imagining a painting in front of you, and this canvas that's been drawn, that's so artistic. وَدُرِسَ مِنْ حَيْثُ نَظْمِهِ وَمُوسِيقَاهُ. And it can be studied from the point of view of how it comes together, how a surah comes together, and how its rhythm comes together. فَكَانَ أَرْوَعُ عَقْدٍ مَنْظُومٍ أَوْ كَانَ أَرْوَعَ عَقْدٍ مَنْظُومٍ وَأَعْذَبَ قِطْعَةٍ فَنِّيَّةٍ مَوْسِيقِيَّةٍ. And it's so marvelous how it's all tied together in such an organized way. You know, one of the most common criticisms of the Quran is it's unorganized. Like, why is it repeating itself? Why are the stories all over the place? Those of you that follow my deeper study series, like what we did I looked at Brother Jawad's paper on the organization of Surah Yusuf. Mind-blowing stuff. How is it organized like this? So he's looking at expressions in the Quran, but he goes, that's not all. I mean, there's stuff that he's not even going to touch in this book, like artistry in the Quran. The pictures that are painted in the Quran by Allah's words. Or the organization of the Quran. وَهَلْ يَشُكُّ أَحَدٌ فِي فَخَامَةِ نَظْمِهِ وَحَلَاوَةِ مُوسِيقَاهُ وَعُذُوبَةِ جِرْسِهِ وَحُسْنِ اخْتِيَارِ أَلْفَاظِهِ وَجَمَالِ وَقِعِ آيَاتِهِ. Oh my God, can anyone even doubt in the grand power of how it's organized, the weight of its organization, and the sweetness of its own music, and the beautiful taste of its, and the joy of its, and the sweetness of its tone and its rhythm, and the beautiful choice of its words, and the gorgeous way in which each ayah has been placed. وَدُرِسَ تَنَاسُبُ سُورَتِهِ سُورَةً سُورَةً. And it's what also has been studied in the Quran is how one surah, the whole surah, is connected to the next surah, to the next surah. How surahs are tied to each other. And which is amazing, because they weren't revealed in this order, right? Fatiha is one of the earliest surahs revealed. Baqarah was given to the Prophet ﷺ when he moved to Medina, and even then it took a decade. Like, it didn't come all at once. There are parts of Baqarah that were towards the end of Revelation, right? So other surahs were coming down while Baqarah was coming down, right? So you've got a very spread out revelation, but now we have it in the form of the Quran that is definitely not chronological. It's not in the Quran we have that we read now is not in the order in which it was received. It is the order in which Allah commanded it to be placed by the instruction Allah gave the Prophet ﷺ. So this is in the order that it was meant to be. And I've taught a course on this, just the order of the Quran. It's called Heavenly Order. Yeah. It's on Bayna TV. I put it up there. Just on this subject, just so we can appreciate, get an idea of how the Quran is organized, right? So he's saying, yeah, and the correlation of surahs, one surah at a time, has also been studied. And the correlation of one ayah connected to the ayah. وَتَنَاسُبُ آيَاتِهِ آيَةً آيَةً. وَتَنَاسُبُ فَوَاتِحَ السُّوَرِ وَتَنَاسُبُ فَوَاتِحِ السُّوَرِ وَخَوَاتِمِهَا. And what's really cool, it's called dovetailing. So you have Baqarah, 286 ayahs, right? So there's a study of the first part of Baqarah, the very beginning statements, and how they are connected to the very last statements. So the beginning is tied to the end, right? So if you think of a necklace, Maryam, that has like different color beads and pearls and jewelry, you notice like some of them are small, some of them are big, and there's like designs in the middle or whatever, right? But if it started with a white pearl at the very beginning, what will you see on the other end at the very beginning also? A white pearl. So it's like that. You see this pearl mentioned in the beginning of Baqarah, and you see something that goes with it at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, yeah. Right? Then what he says is, then what's studied is the end of Baqarah and the very beginning of Ali Imran are connected pearls. Yeah. And then this beginning is tied to the next ending. And that ending is tied to the next beginning. In fact, Dr. Sami Rai wrote an article about dovetailing where he basically wrote from Fatiha to Nas, the beginning, ending, beginning, ending, beginning, ending connections. He's wrote it in one article. It's pretty cool. But that's in modern literature studies, they call this dovetailing. And it's quite a study. It's actually one of the really cool studies of the Quran. فَكَانَ قِطْعَةً فَنِّيَةً وَاحِدَةً مُحْكَمَةً رَبْطِي فَخْمَةً نَسْجِي وَكَانَ كَمَا قَالَ الْفَخْرَ الرَّازِي إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَالسُّورَةِ الْوَاحِدَةِ لِاتِّصَالِ بَعْضِهِ بِبَعْضِ بَلْ هُوَ كَالْآيَةِ الْوَاحِدَةِ He says this connection of surahs, ayahs, beginnings and endings, it is as if it is one chunk, one artistic chunk that is woven together, that is so beautifully, it's actually tapestry. You know, like tapestry, like when grandmas make like a blanket, mm-hmm. and there's a design or a pattern in the blanket.
Yeah.
It's like he's saying that it's so beautiful, the pattern in it. It says, just like Fakhruddin al-Razi said, Fakhruddin al-Razi is one of the great commentators of the Quran. He wrote Mafatih al-Ghayb, people call it Tafsir Kabir, the big Tafsir. And he didn't finish his commentary. Some parts of it were written by a different author. He passed away before he could. And myself and Sheikh Suhaib, we read Imam Razi a lot. And we read Sheikh Ibn Ashur, others. But he's one of the most amazing commentators of the Quran. Amazing, amazing commentators. So he's quoting him and he says something that he said about the Quran. So Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi said, "Inna al-Qur'ana kasurat al-wahida." It's as if the whole Quran is like a single surah. لِتِّصَالِ بَعْضِهِ بِبَعْضِ The way that it connects every part to itself. بَلْ هُوَ كَالْآيَةِ الْوَاحِدَةِ Actually, no, it's like it's one single ayah. It's like one single ayah. So these are just some dimensions of the beauty of the Quran that he wanted to take note of in his introduction. We are going to finish up, I think, his introduction. No or not? Yeah. I think we can finish our introduction tomorrow, inshallah. Okay, inshallah. And then we can do the examples. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Quran al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayatil hakim. Assalamu alaikum,
guys. Love you guys. Ramadan Mubarak. And remember, do your best, and Allah will do the rest.
And you guys have a test.
Oh yeah, Friday.
Yeah, but tomorrow you have a homework, right? In Fitar?
Yeah, Fitar.
Find all the
mudari and madi, and also the irregular.
Okay. Here's the thing. You have to find the madi and mudari. Here's my rule for two of you today. You can't help each other today.
Okay.